Hey, buddy, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian, and I'm joined by my personal hype man, Rich Stambolian.
Look at this guy's chest. It's amazing.
You are my personal hype man.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure, I'll be that guy.
I'm in a suit today for the people actually watching, and it's rare that I'm not in a black t-shirt and blue jeans, but I'm actually dressed up in a suit because I'm going for the sleazy nightclub operator look today. Right? Isn't that exactly what that is, right?
I mean, that's a variety of looks right there. You own a hookah bar. Maybe you just arrived from a foreign land and you're looking to make your gold in New York City.
That is what I'm looking to do. I work at Canal Street. I got a suitcase and I just want to make my gold in New York City.
What's the accent that goes with that suit you're wearing?
Hey, bro, hold on. Hey, bro, you have an invite card to come in? We're running illegal club in pandemic, like that?
That guy actually, he's like the really forthright underground promoter who tells running the illegal club.
It's always like, bro, you know Alex? It's always an Alex. Everybody's looking for an Alex. I got to tell you.
Are you wearing pants with that outfit?
I am wearing pants. Yeah. this show's all about professional wrestling. And man, we have a ton of stuff to talk about. We had a pay-per-view last Sunday. We had NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day, which was a really good pay-per-view. I really enjoyed it. It was top to bottom, a really good card. We got Elimination Chamber coming up this weekend. We have AEW Revolution coming up the following week. I'm going to a Rangers game that day.
Really?
So that
means we're not going to get any work done because I'm going to get that phone call at 3 o'clock going, dude, I met this guy and I shouldn't have taken the pills he gave me, but I did.
No. So I'm going with Bob in the chat room. We're going to the Rangers game.
Oh, forget it.
Yeah. So I think you may want to. No, I'm going to be
chloroform
back.
You.
No, he is going to chloroform me. I will be back. For the show.
Okay.
I have to get a COVID test before I go, though. That's how it works.
Good.
Which I like. I like that a lot. I got to get a COVID test. There's going to be about 1,000 people in the building, so perfectly fine.
I'll be okay in studio for Revolution, by the way.
Awesome. We'll have a lot of fun. I think I'll take off the following day, too.
I might bring some fried chicken. Who knows?
Oh, yeah? Nice. Yeah, I got to talk to Tony, by the way. A lot of people are asking, are we going to do it on F4W again? I've absolutely loved doing it on F4W. I'll ask Tony what he wants to do. The original idea was that some of these we would do it on our page, like the smaller pay-per-views where we could kind of lose our minds a little bit more. Maybe do like a Mat Men After Dark watch along. That's what we could call it. Because we have a lot going on. The next week, obviously, for AEW, will be on F4W. And obviously, WrestleMania, two nights of WrestleMania, will also be doing on F4W, the live watch along. But I think this one, maybe we'll do it on ours and see what happens, if it does anything. What do you think, Rich?
Hey, whatever you want, dude. Like, I enjoy them either way. I feel like we get like a nice cross-section of fans when we do it for F4W, but whatever, dude. I'm easy. I'm so easy.
I know. A lot of great stuff happening the next couple of weeks, so hang by. Stay tuned. I think we're doing another giveaway, too, so we're going to do that. A lot going on. Monday Night Raw was the build to Elimination Chamber. They did a gauntlet match. The Miz is the breakout star here, right? Your boy, The Miz.
Listen, man, The Miz has been in the shit for over 10 years. And isn't it weird how, like, he's kind of the standard of what a superstar should be, right? Like, if you're coming in from another promotion or if you're coming from the Performance Center, NXT, I feel like The Miz is that guy to look up to, right? The way he carries himself, the way he presents himself, straight up company man.
Yeah, but you know what's funny about The Miz? Sorry, I got a phone call that I had to turn off here. I don't think people realize that I'm doing a show right now because I never do one on a Friday. I think for The Miz, he's reached the point, and this is interesting to say, right? When The Miz debuted, I think everybody was on the same page where this guy is not going to make it. I think most people, I'm not saying everybody, but I think most people watching, they're like, oh, he's just going to be another guy. He's not this, he doesn't look like what a wrestler would have looked like in that era. But the guy is one of the best talkers in the company. He has tremendous longevity. Forget about if you like the character, you don't like the character, but he has transcended with a different generation of fans where now he's like, oh, it's The Miz. I love him. There's a whole generation of WWE fans that don't see The Miz in what a lot of people do. I think, you know, the problem with The Miz was they gave him that title really quick.
Yes.
And it did not help him. And I understand the whole point was heat with that title. But, you know, and then you look at a guy like Jinder that also had the title. Long time, Jinder held the title for a while. And obviously he got a lot of crap for it, but his character didn't get it. I think the fact that, I think he got it, but he, I'm sorry, let me say that again. He didn't get it. His character got it, right? But with The Miz, people hate him, hate the person, hate the character.
Right, which I always found fascinating because he always genuinely seemed like a really nice guy, you know? But that character is the epitome of, I think, post-2009 WWE. He's like, that poster boy for that era, you know? Like, and you have, like three or four guys come to mind. John Cena, Miz, R-Truth, Randy Orton.
Yeah, those are the three from that generation. But you know what? Yeah. Like, I got a friend that's good friends with The Miz, or was at the time. This guy by the name of Kenny Santucci. He was in the Real World Road Rules Challenge. He won, like, 18 of them. I met him a couple of years ago. He's actually been on the show years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
So Kenny's a really good dude. I really like Kenny. Because one of the first things we were talking about when I interviewed him, he said that the first thing he did was buy a wrestling ring and put it in his parents' backyard because he loved wrestling so much. And that's how him and The Miz became friends. But he always said, he's like, he's such a nice dude. And he got, not only does the character get it, but he gets a lot of shit personally. But I think now we're beyond that for him. He's really become the face of that company in a bizarre way.
He really is. Isn't it crazy that we're now, like, in 2021 saying, like, you know who the real workhorse in that company is? It's The Miz.
Well, The Miz is this is the difference between casual viewing and us, right? And our viewers and the F4W viewers and the Wrestling Observer viewers. We see wrestling and we want to watch wrestling. People that see The Miz, they see a character and they get intrigued by the character because he's obnoxious or whatever. And that turns into a reality show that's been very successful for USA. So when you really look at this, you know, he really, in many ways, he is the face of that company. And he's the guy that they send out to represent the company. You know, and it is what it is. That's how they do it. But it is a fascinating discussion around The Miz and where he's been. To kind of go back into this, he took himself out of the chamber match.
Right.
Now, where is that leading to, you know?
Do you want that cash in? Because I honestly wouldn't, if it's done right, I would not mind a successful cash in from The Miz.
I don't want that cash in because it's too close to WrestleMania to do it. Because you're going to... Like, what do you do? He cashes in, he wins it, and then Drew challenges for the title? Or he's out of the title picture? Whoever won the elimination?
Yeah, I think he's out of the title picture. I do have a feeling... I don't know, man. I kind of have a feeling that Drew is not going to WrestleMania as champ. Instead, it's gonna be like some kind of him versus Sheamus program that doesn't include the belt.
Maybe Sheamus. I don't know. I will see. But we have Elimination Chamber this weekend. We'll go over the card in a little bit. You want to go over Raw a little bit more?
Yeah. So we also have this stuff. Well, speaking of Sheamus won the gauntlet. He's the last one in the chamber, which again kind of sets up like maybe a loss for Drew down the line or losing the tie. Who knows? I do think Miz is going to cash in. The Alexa Bliss and Orton stuff. Like, where do you see that going?
I mean, obviously the Fiend. Right, but do you marry them at WrestleMania? Like, do you do a theatrical? You know what? Firefly Funhouse match at WrestleMania for the second year, but now it's Randy Orton's bizarre thoughts.
Okay, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that.
You know what? I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to call it. You ready for this?
Shoot.
Same exact Firefly Funhouse concept as John Cena. John Cena's still in the freaking void, so just putting it out there, right?
Okay.
In the void.
Okay.
Randy Orton comes out and they go through all of his gimmicks, the cast arm gimmick, the countdown, you know, the updates on how well he's doing gimmick. And then you find like there's a suitcase. He opens the suitcase. It's just his shit from 20 years ago in there. Right. They got to do that spot where he's just crapping in the women's luggage. Cause that was a thing. I guess you go through all of his demons and characters.
I wouldn't mind that, but the most intriguing part of what you just said is them going into the funhouse and him finding NWO John Cena.
Oh my God, still sitting there?
Still sitting there. I would love that.
By the way, I also think it should get a little spooky, right? So Randy Orton is doing stuff, and every now and then there's a head that's following him, like this translucent head, and it's Edge's gaunt face. Like very gaunt looking and scary looking, just following him around.
So what you really want at the end of the day is a Christmas Carol with Randy Orton as Scrooge.
Yes, that's exactly.
And he's haunted by all the ghosts. And Edge is Bob Cratchit in this.
Yeah, I love this regard. I love it. Dude, you know what? I just booked it. I kind of popped myself on this one. I would not hate seeing that match.
Oh no, me neither.
I know a lot of you will hate it. I would not hate it. Would I prefer that over another match? Probably not, but I would not hate it. And I think it could be done well. But again, where the hell is John Cena? Still dressed up in his NWO outfit.
I think Cena's gonna show up for like 2 minutes at WrestleMania. Because he's one of those guys where I kind of believe like he's not gonna really do anything impactful unless it's a cinematic thing or if there's a crowd. You know?
Yeah, now I get it. Why would you waste them? You know, why would you waste a moment like that? But, my God, I'm just seeing, you know, like Randy Orton has to find to get out. He has to help John Cena get out. That's the only way. So now he has to find all of his like old clothes, like the Thuganomics clothes.
Oh, boy.
You know, so he's like, put this on. And he puts it on. And Orton's wearing like the old, like the like trunks that he used to wear, not the underwear.
Ooh, okay.
Like and now the they gotta fight through all the people that they beat to get there. So like Big Show will be there. All the feuds leading up to them escaping.
Also, if you've somehow turned into that the Christmas Carol thing that you were talking about into like some kind of great escape situation with him and John Cena, where like Orton's leading the way and he's also holding John Cena's hand like behind him and they're trying to escape. As the walls close in, and also just for good measure, since they were both in Marine movies, why not throw that in there?
Oh my God, they're in the Marine 18.
Right.
There you go. Perfect. Love it. So go ahead, Rich. Sorry.
That's fine. After it's Friday, baby. And you're dressed like a million bucks. Ric Flair apparently is the baby daddy to Lacey Evans' storyline pregnancy, right?
Yeah, so the pregnancy is real. So she'll be off. It is interesting how they're doing this. So where do they go from here? Is Flair the daddy, or is she like trying to milk him for money?
Well, how great is that? That her actual pregnancy got turned into like a storyline pregnancy with Ric Flair, who has been acting as the sugar daddy this whole time.
Love it. I don't love it, actually. I shouldn't say
you don't like it. You don't like it. You don't think
it's I don't know. It's very WWE. You know, they love these illegitimate pregnancy angles.
Yes.
You know, they're absolutely big fans of it. But who's if it's not Flair, because Flair's going to come out and do like a promo. He's like, I got snipped 20 years ago, you know, something like that.
No,
like, I've been working like Lacey. And then you find out that it's whoever is the father.
You think this is going to be like another like Rusev Lana situation?
Who's WWE making the dad? I want to know right now from the chat room. We're doing this live. I want to know who's the daddy. Who's WWE going to make the daddy if it's not Flair? Because I know who they're going to do.
Goldberg.
You know, that's actually really funny. I'm going to tell you who they're going to do. I'm just telling you.
Steve Austin.
Eugene. They're bringing him back.
Oh, I see. I've heard the Eugene rumblings, which would kind of be cool. I wouldn't mind it if Eugene was dead.
Here we go. Hornswoggle. Bobby Lashley. Enzo. All R-Truth is the daddy. Seth Rollins. I mean, this is all.
Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed
is the daddy.
That's my favorite one. Maybe this is the way to bring Finn Balor back to TV.
Finn Balor's the father. Vince McMahon, the genetic jackhammer. What if it's Vince? They could finally redo that illegitimate McMahon storyline.
I kind of also feel like this is going to get dropped like really quick.
Gerald Briscoe, Aleister Black.
Aleister Black would be funny.
Yeah, I think that would be funny. So they're doing that still. We'll see where that goes. Your boy Bad Bunny, 24/7 champion, going into SNL this weekend before Elimination Chamber. So Bad Bunny's very committed to this.
Yes.
Bad Bunny's living his best life with this because he's a big wrestling fan. So for him to kind of be working and having a match. By the way, tremendous praise for Damian Priest. He has impressed many people in that company.
Yeah, he's kind of, Damian Priest kind of stepped in shit with this whole Bad Bunny thing, didn't he?
Yeah, he kind of did, and the timing worked out, because he was supposed to get called up a couple weeks prior, and he didn't show up, and people were questioning, like, well, what happened there, right? Why didn't he get called? Why didn't they bring him in? Now we know the program was Bad Bunny, and it is shockingly media-wise, it's doing very well. People are very into this. I don't know if the wrestling fans are into it, but people are, you know, as far as media coverage goes, this is what they want.
Well, here's your disconnect, I think, with a lot of wrestling fans. And, you know, we see this on our social channels where a lot of people are like, who the F is this guy? You know, but guess what? He's one of the most popular acts in North America, if not
in the world,
you know. Now, what would your reaction be if 2022 WrestleMania main event, Bad Bunny in one corner, Bow Wow in the other?
Ugh, yuck. I don't want to see Bow Wow.
Bow Wow's doing it. Bow Wow's calling everybody out on Twitter. I think he reported to the Performance Center or something.
Oh, my God. Bow Wow is now wrestling. So, whatever. This was, you know, we'll talk about the card in a little bit. The Elimination Chamber card. It's, you know, it is what it is. It's fine. We'll see how well it does. Actually, you know what? You want to pull up the matches now? You want to do this since we're talking about this?
For Elimination Chamber?
Yeah. Yeah, might as well stick to it.
Yeah.
You're going to have five matches.
Do you think it's going to be a quick one?
Yeah. Well, the Elimination Chamber matches are long, so that's like about 40 minutes apiece. So that's, you know, you got 2 hours right there, and then you got... and then you're going to have three more matches. So I don't know. It may go 4 hours.
Well, let's see what so far these are what the matches are. Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman versus the SmackDown Elimination Chamber match winner.
Yes.
So that match includes Jey Uso, Kevin Owens, King Corbin, Sami Zayn, Cesaro, and Daniel Bryan.
I'm looking at this. So it's not going to be Jey Uso. I don't think it's going to be either Cesaro or Daniel Bryan, in my opinion.
You think they're done with Kevin Owens?
I don't know. Do you end that program? I guess KO, and then what do? You have KO lose again? You know?
Well, let's see.
Unless you do Jey Uso and you do some sort of weird finger poke type thing.
Who in that match is most, in your opinion, in your eyes, the eyes of a wrestling fan, who in that match do you think deserves a shot at the title?
Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
I mean, or Cesaro. I know a lot of people are going to say Cesaro, but I still want to see Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns.
I'm all for Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. I'm for Cesaro and also Sami Zayn. I feel like Sami, in a weird way, has been the slowest burn in WWE.
He really has. Listen, I don't think it's WWE's fault or Sami's fault. I think he got hurt a lot. You know, he had a number of injuries. They had a whole different idea for Sami, but he got hurt the first night he showed up, and then after that he got hurt again, and they kind of cooled down on him. I don't know how I feel about the Sami character, but it's very much him. Like, this is who he is. It's coming off. I mean, it's a decent. He plays the character great, but is that a main event picture character?
I think with another tweak, absolutely, and also possibly a face turn, like him going back to like Super Ska, Sami Zayn. I'd be all about it.
He's been a heel for some time.
He's been a heel for quite some time. I feel like sometimes when guys get too over, WWE flips on them. Like Nakamura and Sammy are two good examples where they were, I kind of feel like this might be my wrestling fan paranoia, where they saw the crowds were really hot for these guys as baby faces, and then the company was like, we can't have that.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Bobby Lashley with MVP versus Keith Lee and Riddle. Triple threat match for the United States Championship. I'm looking forward to this one.
Did you call him Bobby Lashley or Bobby Lee?
I called him Bobby Lee.
Okay.
Bobby Lashley with MVP versus Keith Lee versus Riddle.
There's a lot of L's there.
There is a lot of L's. I was thinking of, I think,
Bobby
the comedian,
Lee, the Bobby comic? Lee. Yeah. The Asian comic, Bobby Lee. I think this is, here's what I think they need to do. Lashley has to be super dominant here.
Yes.
I have jumped on the Lashley bandwagon.
I'm with you.
They have plans for him to be in the main event picture after WrestleMania. This guy has been tremendous over the last since the Hurt since the Hurt Business.
Yeah, you know,
you and I both on the same page with this, right? I mean, he looks unbelievable.
100%, man. I think now is the season for Bobby Lashley. It's like Lashley time, like for real. When they brought him back a few years ago, again, he had that feud with Sammy, which kind of went nowhere. And then he did the Lana and Rusev stuff, which definitely went nowhere. And now being in the Hurt Business has helped him tremendously, because guess what? Put a tough dude who doesn't really talk in a suit and it makes them that much more badass.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I like the whole Bobby Lashley thing. Mm-hmm. I say give it to Lashley. Or if you want to take the title off him, this may be the opportunity. Put it on Riddle, and then you have Keith Lee and Riddle in a program at WrestleMania. Do something there.
I'm going to go Keith Lee wins this.
You're going to go Keith Lee wins it? Okay.
I think so, man. Like, I like Keith Lee a lot. He's very charming.
Very charming.
I think also with his moveset and just his personality, I feel like they're going to give him a little something extra this Sunday. And it's going to be Keith Lee winning. So apparently the match that was slated is Asuka versus Lacey Evans.
Yeah. So that is probably not going to happen.
Right. Yeah. So does Flair come out and introduce his new, like, his new girlfriend?
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do there. What do we... I mean... I have no idea where they go with that. Maybe this was a big ruse from Charlotte and Rick.
That's where I thought it was headed from the beginning, where it's like, you know, they're both the dirtiest players in the games.
Yeah, plural. And how screwed up of a, you know, they just used her. Or they used, right. You know, they could do something with that. Flair's harem.
Mm-hmm.
We need that. We need that to be a segment.
Maybe a call-up from NXT. That'd be kind of cool.
Maybe.
All right. And we have the Elimination Chamber match for the WWE Championship. Drew McIntyre, AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, Sheamus, and Kofi Kingston. Here is your 2009 WWE men's roster.
Apart from AJ Styles, here's your 2009 Elimination Chamber match. Orton gets, I don't know, maybe Alexa costs Orton his win. Kofi, I don't think Kofi's doing much here. He's probably here for the spot. AJ,
you don't think we get Kofi Mania too?
Maybe we get AJ and Jeff, Randy, and I don't know. I don't think we're getting Kofi Mania too. I have no clue where they go with this and how they do it, because the Miz is still holding that briefcase over everybody's head. Maybe he's just teasing it for a WrestleMania cash in. Sheamus and Drew, I don't think that should be the WrestleMania match. I really don't.
I don't either. Now, let me ask you something.
Yes, sir.
Do you have a problem with anyone in this match winning?
It would be cool if Kofi won. It would be cool if Sheamus won. I guess I would be cool with anybody winning.
Yeah.
But here's my problem with it. We have WrestleMania, so I do have a problem if you know, it's Jeff Hardy and Kofi Kingston for the world title match at WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Like, it needs to make sense. Drew is the one that makes sense for me at WrestleMania. I don't think, I guess Drew can make sense. AJ can make sense. Randy can make sense. I just don't want to see Sheamus, Jeff, or Kofi going in because they haven't given it enough time or a build for a program. And a fluke wouldn't go over well at WrestleMania.
Okay. I definitely think Edge hasn't made his decision yet, right?
No, Edge has not made his decision.
Okay. So you could get like a really weird ending where,
oh man,
Drew loses, him and Sheamus do their thing at WrestleMania, Randy wins, Edge comes out, points at the sign, right?
Okay.
You have Edge and Randy at WrestleMania. Edge wins at WrestleMania. Awesome. Reigniting that storyline.
And then what happens with Roman?
I don't know. I think Roman faces Goldberg. He does like a part-timer or something. Possibly. Okay. Right?
I don't know.
I think, and you could put the belt on any person in this, in the Raw side of this match, and have it make sense in a bizarre way. So, like, if Sheamus wins, you know, Drew challenges him at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah. Interesting. If Kofi, in our chat room, Fifth Generation Carney says, no one in that match has had a winning record since October.
Ooh, that's fascinating.
That is fascinating.
If Kofi wins, what if we got Kofi versus Big E? Big E challenges him at WrestleMania.
What if AJ wins and we get Edge and AJ at WrestleMania, right?
Listen, I'd be cool with that. I'd be cool with Jeff Hardy and Edge at WrestleMania. I think they're going to put that belt on Jeff Hardy again.
I think they're putting the belt on Edge. I don't know how who drops it or which title, but it's I believe Edge would get it. Okay. Edge would get it. Listen, I love this. Speculation is always fun. To speculate what's going to happen, but that's the preview. We're going to be live on Sunday doing a watch along, so join us. I'll post more information next day or two. NXT, are we done with this, Rich? You good?
We're done, okay. Dude. I'm done. I'm out of here.
All right, see you later, man. All right. NXT TakeOver Fallout Wednesday night, I should say. Really good NXT. I really enjoyed this NXT. The ratings reflected the intrigue from people, where a lot of people were very much interested what happened during the show and where it goes. They left you off with a great cliffhanger at the end of TakeOver, where Kyle O'Reilly got super kicked by Adam Cole after Adam Cole had super kicked Finn Balor. Mm-hmm. And this is leading up to something crazy. I mean, there's so many people in that main event picture right now on the NXT side.
Pretty cool.
You know what's funny, though? They've taken... Normally, the North American title has, like, everybody fighting for it. Like, a couple years ago, you know, when Ricochet had it, like, everybody was going for that, and the main event wasn't as cluttered. And now they've gone the reverse, where less people competing for that North American championship, and your top is so heavy for that main event picture. Because remember, you got Adam Cole in that picture, right? Mm-hmm. Who's Adam still feuding with? He's feuding with Pat. Also, Kyle O'Reilly got super kicked by Adam Cole. Roddy's in that mix. You have Finn Balor. You have Karrion Kross still there. You still have Pete Dunne in that position. Tommaso Ciampa's still, you know, lurking in the back. He's busy right now. But it's a very interesting main event for NXT, where you have so many people trying to get there. And it kind of, that's by design, right? Because the whole goal is, if I become the king here, I'm going to the main roster, right? They still want to position it like that.
I'll agree with that to a certain respect, but I kind of want to ask you a question. Do you think WWE has done a good job of protecting those three titles in the last couple of years? NXT, Raw, and SmackDown.
I think they've done a good job at protecting the titles, because remember, Brock has had each title in the main roster for long periods of time. Drew has been a pretty, you know... They've attempted with Drew. Unfortunately, with the pandemic, it's been difficult. But they attempted to be the, you know, he was the guy. He was the King Slayer. They've done a good job at protecting the main titles. I don't think they've done a bad job at it. Storyline-wise, it's a different story. But I know, I think they've done a really good job at protecting the titles. Especially NXT. The main title's never considered a joke or anything.
100%. And plus, like, I think the interesting to kind of piggyback on what you said before, the NXT title is fascinating because it's the one title where you're like, oh, this is really close. Like that Pete Dunne match, you were like, this is very close. Like, is Finn going to squeak it out? That Kyle O'Reilly match, same thing. You know, so like those title defenses have been almost like New Japan style. You know, like all it takes is like a hair to win, right?
Yeah. All right, let me see here. I just closed out the notes here.
Okay. All right.
sorry, guys. Last night on NXT, Fallout, Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart defeated Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. I thought that was a fun match. Johnny finds Austin Theory tied up in his underwear in Dexter Loomis's van. And this is getting crazy. He rescued him and they were celebrating on the ramp. They kept cutting away from the match to show the van arriving, which was bizarre. What do you think they're going with this? Is Dexter Lumis going to be the one that beats Johnny Gargano for the North American Championship?
I have a weird feeling that he's going to end up joining them. Like Dexter Lumis in the way. Yeah, he's going to join the way. Yeah,
oh, that's going to be hysterical. That's hysterical.
It's an interesting feud for Johnny Gargano, especially now because, like, I feel like heel Gargano is more of a comedy character.
He has become a comedy character, which I'm not a big fan of, to be honest.
I'm okay with it. I like Gargano's interesting because as a babyface, he's like a really serious babyface, right?
Yeah.
Like he's the super underdog. As a heel, he's kind of like at this point, he's like a comedy heel. I think it works. I think he's kind of flexing his muscles in an interesting way. And plus he gets to be with his wife, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, listen, he's having fun. Pat McAfee was right about Adam Cole all along about being a scumbag. He cut a promo on his private plane and he was like, yeah, dude, the guy's scum. Told you from day one, he's not a good dude and he's kind of proving his point. It's funny, like now they're like, who's the heel, who's the face, you know, in this program?
Yeah, I feel like they're going to end up doing a tag team.
Oh, man, can you imagine that?
Pat McAfee. Adam Cole versus Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly. That's a good match.
That could work. Casey Catanzaro, she's getting a lot of time on TV, which I like. And Kayden Carter, which I very impressive, defeated Aaliyah and Jesse Kamea with Robert Stone. Whatever. It was what it was. Zaya Lee says she will purge Casey next week. So Zaya's a heel.
Right. She's like a brainwashed Mortal Kombat character.
Okay, I'm into that. More Mortal Kombat character. And listen, Casey Catanzaro could be a Mortal Kombat character, too.
Oh, absolutely.
She kind of fits there.
You had the Dusty Tag Team trophy presentation, which I thought was cool when the trophy was about to be presented to the women. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler showed up.
Yeah, sorry. My mic got cut off. Where do you think they're gonna challenge? What are they doing with this now? You're gonna have set up a match at WrestleMania?
I think it's WrestleMania, right? Pre-show maybe. Nia Jackson, Baszler versus Gonzalez and Dakota Kai.
I mean, I was told that they're gonna have NXT matches on WrestleMania this year.
They've been saying that for like the last 3 years.
I know. I hear about it every year from them, but you know what? There's no takeover this year.
True. Okay.
So they can. They can do it, and they should if there's no takeover.
Two nights, man. Imagine if, if you're doing two nights at WrestleMania, it's very doubtful that one of the nights is going to be headlined by an NXT match.
No, it won't be headlined, but I think it wouldn't be a bad idea if you put... I mean, listen, it would be really cool to see that NXT title defended at WrestleMania for the first time, and it's a main roster guy that has the title currently, and you could do... you could do so much with those entrances and everything, so it would work out pretty well. Listen, didn't we see a WrestleMania match, an NXT title match at WrestleMania last year?
For
the women's title.
What was the match?
It was Charlotte and why is my brain just froze on her name? Jesus Christ, my brain. Sorry guys, I'm so tired today. Charlotte and what's her name?
Rhea Ripley.
Rhea Ripley, yeah.
Was that the match?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. I don't remember. As soon as you said NXT title match at WrestleMania, I thought of Neville versus I forgot. Austin Aries, yeah.
On a pre-show. No, also they're doing that match March 3rd on TV. the women's tag match.
So okay, was, cool.
So listen, do the men's one this year. So I'm all good with that.
NXT was okay this week.
Yeah, it was fine. We had the Dusty Classic. We went over that. Billionaire Cameron Grimes video package. Phenomenal. Perfect.
I'm cool with that.
He totaled his Lamborghini at the end. Jump very into this. They've done a good job. I don't care if he becomes even wealthier and turns into a JBL type guy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't care if he loses everything on bad investments. Bulls and bears get rich, but you know what happens to pigs?
Oh, boy.
They get slaughtered. So that's maybe what they're going to do. He's just going to get greedy and try to make more money, loses everything.
And then ends up going back to his Michael Hayes character.
Yeah. Yeah. Kushida defeated Tyler Rust. They're really big on, they're pushing this guy little by little. I think Tyler Rust is going to be a out front guy in this company in NXT in the next, I guess, 6 months, I would say.
Okay. All right.
Zoe Stark defeated Valentina. What's her last name?
Faraz.
Feroz. I did not see this match. I missed this one, but in the notes it says impressive debut. Her finisher is a rotating GTS. It looked awesome. So very I did cool. not see this match. So I can't really comment. Then we had Pete Dunne, Oney Lorcan, and Danny Burch defeating Finn Balor, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong. Adam Cole attacked O'Reilly, costing them the match after he laid out Finn and Kyle again. Kyle looked hurt. Okay, so here is where a lot of speculation happened.
Yeah, so weird.
Somebody tweeted a photo of Kyle O'Reilly getting stretchered out and said he had a seizure. Then multiple people that were in the building in the audience said that he was convulsing and he had a seizure. People got very concerned about this. WWE did make a comment and said, no, it's all part of a storyline. So whether he got hurt and somebody mistook it as a different injury, 100% he did not have a seizure. Let's just say that. 100%. Yeah. So I don't know what this, you know, after that, we don't know much. But according to them, it was a storyline. He did not have a seizure. Was there a different injury? I don't think so. But let's see.
Well, I'm glad he's okay. And yeah. it's also bizarre how wrestling will still fool people.
Wrestling still fools everybody. We're all fooled. It's all real.
Everybody's getting worked. Everybody's getting worked 24/7.
Yeah. AEW, let's talk about this. What did you think of the show?
Loved it. Big fan. Another very tight episode with a lot of moving parts. And I think they've done a really good job loading up these episodes with like all this stuff. I mean, like looking at the notes, you started with Hangman and Matt Hardy beating TH2, right? But yes. that turns into Hangman revealing that he switched contracts with Matt Hardy. So now we're going to get Matt Hardy versus Hangman Page in a money match at Revolution.
Yeah.
So like they're basically like the loser has to give a quarter of his profits.
No, the first quarter. Their money, whatever money they made from AEW the first quarter of 2021, they have to give those profits to the other one.
Which is it's so bizarre, and I kind of want this to be the end of Big Money Matt.
Well, here's the thing, I'm going to tell you something. I have to so when they announced it, I watched this one live. Mm. When they announced it, I was like, "You know what? I could see how they came to this moment. It's actually one of the smarter bookings in wrestling because wrestling likes to do the big thing, right? So they'll say, like, your entire contract belongs to me now. If you lose, every penny you make in this company goes to me. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. Nobody would ever agree to those terms. Nobody. Right. Nobody would even want to suggest that. I'm going to give you all the money I make or you're going to have to leave your career. This was like done on a normal human level. Like, okay, you know what? Here's the bet. How much money you make this first quarter? I made $150,000. All right, you know what? I made $150,000 also. Whoever loses the match, you give me your first quarter paycheck.
I'm liking where this is going. Do you think this is going to be a redemption for Hangman in some way and the possible end of his drunk character or what? He's been an alcoholic for quite some time now.
He has been an alcoholic for some time. I don't know. Is he an alcoholic or is just he enjoys the booze?
I think it's a little of both, because like whenever they cut to him, he's completely sloshed. I think it's funny, you know, but like how long is Drunk Hangman going to be a thing?
I think it's going to go away once he's in the world title picture again.
Okay. He's going to like sober up.
Yeah, definitely.
He had Riho also beating Serena Deeb in a first round match for the Women's Championship Eliminator Tournament. That was a good match. I think
really
this was
match.
Rio's return. Serena Deeb is she's a very rare talent, I think. She's very, very good. And, you know, again, like much like Thunder Rosa, her presence, I think, definitely enhances the female side of the roster.
Yeah. Team Taz came out.
Bro.
Cut a promo.
Bro, let me tell you, bro.
You know that Hook is his son?
Yes.
I don't think people know this. Hook is Taz's son. And somebody, I wrote that on Twitter, and someone goes, but that kid is white, right? That's what someone wrote to me. I go, Taz is Italian.
Yeah, guess
and they
what,
go,
guys?
Taz is and the guy wrote, and I can actually hear him. He goes, no effing way he's Italian. That's what the guy wrote back.
Wow. Yeah.
Listen, dude, he likes the sun. He likes the tan. What do you want? He's got that hot dog skin going. He has a nice tan going.
I think it was almost 2 months ago where they introduced his son as a character on TV.
I don't think people realize that it's his son.
It was it wasn't a throwaway line, but it was a very, they didn't make anything of it. I believe 2 months ago, Taz got in Cody's face, and then I think Cody was like, well, then why is your son training with us at the Nightmare Factory?
Oh, interesting.
And Taz was like, ugh! And then after that, they didn't address it, and it was his kid coming out with them the whole time.
So Taz malfunctioned. That's what you're talking
about. Right. Yeah. He made Taz malfunction. Listen, I'm a big fan of the Team Taz stuff. Again,
I am
Evil
too.
Pizzeria. Evil Pizzeria. They all work there. They're all doing different pizzeria duties at the shop.
I like that when you turned it into an evil pizzeria. They're like the Cobra Kai of pizza.
100%. 100%.
Okay. Love it. I love it. We need a TV show about this on Netflix.
And their hook is basically the pizza's pretty good. It's not
the
best.
The pizza is pretty good. No, but they're aggressive about it.
Yeah,
they're the best in town. The best in town.
If your pizzeria wasn't the only pizzeria in like 2 square miles, I wouldn't even come here.
And then Maltucci's opens up and they get really angry that's across the street and they start vandalizing the place.
Oh, Taz
toilet
just
paper and stuff like that.
Burns it down immediately.
So while Team Taz is cutting this promo, Sting comes out and Sting took a powerbomb from Brian Cage, 62 years old Sting, with a really bad neck. Took a powerbomb. Listen, I'm not knocking it. I'm not gonna go into the whole like he's too old to take this move. If he feels that he's fine to do it, then he's fine to do it. He's a very smart grown man. I don't need to make a determination on what he should be doing. But you know, he got the oohs and the ahs from the wrestling world. So they're working something here. I mean, Taz took a powerbomb. Sting, I should say, took a powerbomb.
This is pretty fascinating, and I feel like we can do a whole episode kind of dedicated to, like, I don't want to call them old timers because that implies that they're decrepit, right?
Yeah.
I want to say, like, you're veterans like Sting. I think it's very fascinating now how we're kind of getting almost every company with a veteran working, right? Goldberg, Sting, Muda, 58 years old. Great Muda just won the GHC Heavyweight Championship.
Noah's Heavyweight Championship,
right?
Yeah.
And then I forgot the guy's last name, who also won, who's also a veteran wrestler, and he won another company's championship. I think that's a dude who hasn't wrestled in like quite a while, too.
Yeah. I think the Muda looks remarkable. I mean, he actually looked pretty good. For, you know, being so banged up. The guy's knees are done, and he worked hard in that match.
Well, he had a double knee replacement not too long ago, and the guy looks great.
He also said that he would work with Impact.
How cool would that be?
Somebody asked him if he would work with Impact, and he said, yeah, I would.
So you're gonna get are we gonna get Kenny Omega versus Muda now?
Oh my god. Oh my god. Can you imagine that?
I feel
you
like
know
you
what?
Almost.
I kind of want to see that over Okada and Kenny again.
I feel like you almost took your suit jacket off right there.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm getting flush. I'm kind of into that, dude. I never even thought about it. I'm into that. You also had the Young Bucks defeating Santana and Ortiz to retain the AEW Tag Championships. Papa Buck got involved at the end of the match, shoving Chris Jericho. At the end, you saw, also before he beat up, Papa Buck shoved Jericho, you saw a lion tamer. And what was MJF using? Was it a crossface?
Oh, you know what?
And his submission. Remember. It was an armbar, a cross, whatever it was. So they've built up that match, obviously, for Revolution, where it's going to be Jericho and MJF facing the Young Bucks. Maybe they'll win it. I don't know. But Santana and Ortiz, man, these guys are awesome. Freaking love them.
Yeah, they're great. That was a good match. That was fun. It's always fun seeing, I'm still a fan of the Young Bucks. It's always fun seeing them wrestle. What else do we have? We had the gender reveal from Brandi Rhodes it's going to be a girl. That's cool.
Brandi and Cody are having a girl. We had a gender reveal. They did it live on the show. FTR defeated Matt and Mike Seidel. I guess they're a tag team. All right, fine.
Cool. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I think JR on commentary nailed it. Is like when Matt Seidel was in WWE, he was way ahead of his time.
Yeah. No, I think he was way ahead of his time. Yeah. He was Ricochet before Ricochet.
Absolutely. He was the Young Bucks before the Young Bucks. Like he wrestled that interesting hybrid high flying style, And I think the dude still has it,
Dude, he's interesting because he has a good look. He's a handsome guy. He has the hair. He has the moves. It just didn't go anywhere in WWE.
He was tag team champs with Kofi, right? Weren't they Air Boom? Yeah.
Yeah.
Cody also announced a six-way ladder match for the TNT for a TNT title shot at Revolution. So far, we're getting Cody, Phoenix, and Scorpio Sky in that match. That's going to be a fun one.
We'll have three more next week. We'll have three more announced on this week's AEW Dynamite.
Yeah.
And you had Jon Moxley, Lance Archer, and Rey Fénix defeating Eddie Kingston, The Butcher, and The Blade. At the end, this is where it gets interesting. So at the end of this match, the Good Brothers show up and they jump Jon Moxley. They beat the crap out of Moxley. Kenny Omega comes out and they're holding Moxley and he challenges Moxley to a match. Now he says, listen, I don't want any excuses here with who wins and who doesn't win. And he demands an exploding barbed wire death match in AEW at Revolution. An exploding barbed wire death match. Now, I don't know what to make of this. Is this going to be a live match? Are they going to do a cinematically style match? I think the visuals on a cinematic style barbed wire death match would be very interesting, but yes. I do think the rawness and the grittiness that these matches are, if you haven't ever seen an exploding barbed wire death match or any death match, right? Ignore the CZW stuff. Ignore the IWA Mid-South stuff. Forget about like what we've seen over the last 10 years. Go deep dive into the Japan stuff. Go into Onita. Go into Terry Funk and Mr. Pogo, right? Go into Cactus Jack and Terry Funk. There's a whole slew of these matches, and it looks like a snuff film. I'm describing this perfectly. I'm not over exaggerating this. It looks like you shouldn't be watching this, or it was some cursed tape that you discovered in an attic somewhere. I put it on. I was watching. I think it was Mr. Pogo and Terry Funk. So probably it was FMW if it was Pogo, right?
Yeah.
I put this thing on and just walked in the room. She's like, "What the fuck are you watching?" I'm like, "Oh, a death match." She's like, "What the hell is that,
babe?"
I'm like, "Listen, I'm like, there's a timer with like a very ominous alarm going off, like a nuclear bomb is about to go off throughout like the whole countdown." And at one point, they're teasing the barbed wire spots, which here's the thing. There's nothing fast in a barbed wire death match, right? It's very slow. they spent like 5 minutes of Terry Funk pushing. I can't remember if it was the Onita match or the Funk match, but it was or the Pogo match. But he's like trying to cut his head on the bar wire, but he can't get there. And of course, the spot is he slips out and Funk goes right into the thing, right? And he gets like electrocuted or whatever bullshit happens. Just it's insanity. Obviously, the quality of television is a lot better than it was, you know, in 1991 in Japan or 93 in Japan. Right. So. Right. The dirtiness of it goes away. I don't know if making it cinematic improves it or keeping it live and just being crazy helps. What do you think? Because you and I have both, I mean, when I first started tape trading back in 1998, I would say that that was one of the first things I ever wanted to find was one of these crazy, you know, mythical death matches that we had heard about growing up.
Absolutely.
I think the first one I ever got was IWA. IWA, it was that deathmatch tournament, and yes. It was Funk and Cactus. Yes. So that was like the first one I ever saw, and that was like the kind of like a PG one compared to some of these other ones.
Yeah, oh, forget it. But still, like I think if they do it live and add some kind of graininess to it, it would kind of bring you back. Also, when I was watching AEW on Wednesday, we forgot to put in the notes that Luther had a match, right?
Dr.
Luther was an FMW.
Yeah.
And I was already in the mindset of like, you know what would be cool if they brought Sabu back to have like an FMW style match between him and Luther. And then all of a sudden Kenny announces a exploding barbed wire.
Oh, is that what
match.
You were thinking?
I was like, oh my God. Really like funny. I popped like nobody's business in my own head.
Listen, and Transferring Heat Podcast in our chat room says something interesting, which I agree. It's such a niche concept for a niche audience, but it would be the first time that you have ever seen this in North America on this scale. I think people need to remember that. We've never seen this level. WWE never did a barbed wire match in that whole craziness of the Attitude Era.
Really?
Remember that. Vince hates the concept. He thinks it's disgusting. He thinks it's gruesome. He never did a barbed wire match, which they remember. I remember going on the WrestleZone forums and even 1997, 1999. And that's all people would talk about was, will we see a barbed wire match? You know what it was? Barbed wire match in WWE and the mythical Inferno match in No Mercy.
Right.
If you beat it with Kane two times in a row, and then you win the tag titles with The Undertaker, you unlock an Inferno match that you got to face Steve Austin and lose, and then you get a barbed wire match. But you know what do, Rich? You could bring, like, Kenny could bring, like, Sabu to train him. You know? You could bring Onita to, like, try to like train him for John Moxley.
Well, Taz is also there too.
I don't think Taz ever did a death match.
You don't think he did a barbed wire match?
I don't remember.
I know he did
much.
Several. Yeah.
I don't remember seeing Taz's barbed wire matches, but it was more, I mean, really the match was Sabu and Funk, right?
Yeah.
It was too extreme even for ECW. One of my favorite commercials that ECW put on. They say the Terry Funk Sabu barbed wire match is too extreme even for ECW. You Very be the exciting. Judge. With the Phantom of the Opera playing in the background.
Listen, I'm very excited for this, and it kind of also adds to what Kenny had said before AEW started, where he wants to be the world's most consummate professional wrestler, where he can do any style match. And now he's doing a death match.
He's doing a death match on pay-per-view in North America. Dude, you know what? I got to tell you, the 14-year-old in me, right, freaking loves this.
Like,
this is, and once again, the legacy of FMW, Wing, the hardcore ECW stuff still existing.
Bring it back, kind of, right? I feel, because like, I think now the guys who are on top are also of the same age where that stuff really had an impact, right?
You know what? This is what I was thinking. did WCW do? I don't think they ever called it a death match, but did they do one in like 91, 92?
Oh, I don't remember. I'm
getting
terrible...
some bizarre memory of something from 1992 and WCW doing something. I don't know what the hell they would call it. Somebody could find this. MG Geek, our producer, he could probably discover this. Or Joe Rogan's producer. You want me to ask him?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, Jamie, can you pull up WCW 1990? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Maybe with Funk or Vade or somebody. Okay. Jamie's looking it up. Thank you.
That's a good bit. That's a good bit, by the way.
Thank you. Jamie's strong here. Bit. Jamie's just looking at it. I'm hyped for it, man. I think it's cool.
I think it's going to be fun.
It may be a thing that they do every year. Maybe that'll be their thing. You know, they can. Some other news. Guys, before we go into the other news, I was only doing an hour here today, but I guess we're going to go a little bit longer here. We're 55 minutes into the show. Other news, if you enjoy the podcast, obviously you could fund us here on YouTube. You could hit the Super Chat button when we're live and give us whatever you want to give us. You want to tip us? Give us a tip. But if you want to consistently help out the show and consistently support the product, go to patreon.com/mattmenpodcast. Fund us as little as $1 a month. And listen, it goes a long way, man. Rich and I take that money. That's our beer money. That's our, actually, you know, just getting by during a week thing. And it helps every penny of it. So I deeply appreciate you guys doing that. Patreon.com/mattmenpodcast. Also, if you want some Matt Men merch, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/mattmenpodcast. You get a Matt Men t-shirt over there. Other news. Josh Barnett's Bloodsport Saturday night. This is pretty cool. Have you seen this card?
Yeah, it's a pretty rocking card, dude.
I was not going to order it. I was not going to watch it until I got the notes here. And I was like, dude, this is pretty good. Do you want to run down this card or do you want me to do it?
I'll do it from the bottom to the top.
Okay. From the bottom to the top. Okay. Sorry.
So we're getting Bad Dude Tito versus Calder McCole.
Okay.
Calvin Tankman versus Nolan Edward.
Okay.
Cal Jack versus Super Beast.
Okay.
Alex Coughlin versus Royce Isaacs.
Our
buddy Rocky Romero versus Simon Grimm.
I hope Rocky has filed down his fucking teeth and he bites Simon in the freaking eye. All right.
Oh boy.
I want him to file down his teeth like Freddie Blassie and just start taking chunks out of his head out.
Is it Junior Kratos or JR Kratos versus Chris Dickinson?
I think it's JR Kratos.
Jeff Cobb versus Tom Lawler, which is going to be awesome.
Another one of our friends, Tom Lawler.
And your main event, John Moxley versus Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Dude, okay. I think this is pretty cool. I think this is such a unique concept for North American wrestling, which I love. I want to see John Moxley and Davey Boy Smith Jr. Definitely Jeff Cobb and filthy Tom Lawler. Part of the F4W Empire, by the way. We gotta support Tom, our comrade. Part of the Empire, our fellow friend, podcaster, MMA fighter, MLW wrestler, the future of pro wrestling, filthy Tom Lawler, and of course, Rocky Romero, which I really hope he's filing down his teeth.
That'd be hysterical.
Can you imagine? You know what? I'm going to send this to Rocky. Rocky, listen, just start freaking doing it, man. Just take the file, just start doing it, and just be ready for Simon, please.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think the end of the show ends with a Killer Elite Squad reunion of Lance Archer and Davey Boy Smith?
What if he's there?
That would be kind of cool.
You know what? That was a really cool tag team, which I really was behind.
They were like the big guy jeans at one point, right?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed them in Japan. They were good. Davey Boy Smith Jr. is a pretty fantastic worker, too.
Yeah. WWE extends social media endorsement ban. This became a big topic here. So last week there was a meeting and a lot of people were upset because WWE, they didn't talk to the talent, but they spoke to everybody else, but there were no bonuses and quarterly bonus stuff like that coming out because of the pandemic. A lot of people were upset. I was told this is also, there's a lot of questions regarding how endorsements and royalties and bonuses would go. Not endorsements, I'm sorry, bonuses essentially, and pay would go for WWE Network stuff and pay-per-views since they're moving to Peacock. I don't have the answer to that yet, but I know a lot of people are very upset. This is 2013 all over again for them when they went over to the network and pay-per-view bonuses went away.
Right.
A lot of people are upset at this. And I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about this. This is not done. A lot of people have been quiet about the story. I was told a couple of things I'm not going to get into because it's going to affect people's income. So I won't go into it, but I'm not very happy about this. And WWE's kind of opening up a possible lawsuit against them because they're getting really close to getting a lot of mainstream attention about their definition of an independent contractor.
Yeah.
Because I know, by the way, that's something I know a lot about. And I'm not talking about, you know, hiring a plumber. I'm talking about 1099 independent contractor for entertainment purposes.
Right, all right?
You cannot, by any means, technically, tell a independent contractor they cannot go and do other work. That doesn't, it doesn't...
Right.
For whatever reason, WWE has created a discovered this tremendous loophole in the way that they do these contracts, and it has not been an issue. But they're flying too close to the sun with this, with these endorsement bans and everything else.
Right.
I'm not picking a side on this. I'd like to know more. Very curious about this. This stuff interests me. NXT, new NXT show. Originally, they've been working on this thing for about a year now. And it was going to be called NXT Underground, where they profiled a lot of these guys that are in the Performance Center or on the opening, you know, that entry level for NXT TV to profile them on this. But now they're changing it to NXT Evolve, which is, I guess this is the future of Evolve. Dude, you know what? I'd love to see NXT Evolve still do LaBoom.
Oh, 100%, dude. You know? I would be so down with that.
Essentially,
yeah.
That's what it was for people here on the East Coast. If you've gone to Evolve shows, because Evolve became an East Coast thing, right? New York, Philly, Boston, Connecticut. They didn't really travel further than the East Coast most of the time. They became an East Coast promotion, and it did great. Gabe Sapolsky, the booker here, Paul Heyman disciple, put together something pretty unique here, and they shot the pilot to this NXT Evolve. And it's Gabe and Jeremy Borash producing. So that should say something. Borash has a very unique way of shooting wrestling. And yeah. I'm curious if that's going to reflect of the product on how they're going to do this. I'm really psyched about this. Who's the host?
It says here in the notes, it's a Josiah. Hold on 1 second here. Just kind of crap that. Josiah Williams?
I don't know who Josiah Williams is. Does he mean Joshua Williams?
Unless Mr. Gonzo botched the spelling of this.
I don't know who Josiah Williams is. I don't know what he's writing there.
So apparently there's not going to be traditional commentary, but there will be a host in place.
Interesting. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm sure that's going to go away quick. They'll drop that if it doesn't get over.
Do you think this is going to, because like we...
The rapper on NXT, Josiah Williams...
This is very sight unseen. Now, let me ask you, do you think this could be like an NXT version of Lucha Underground?
Oh, you know what? MG Geek, he spelt this thing so terribly.
Oh.
I know who this is.
I was
right. He spelt it so miserably with like 18 I's. Mm-hmm. I thought we were talking about a woman. Yeah, I know who this is. He's a host on NXT. Mm-hmm. He has a mic. He does interviews and stuff. Thank you for that, MG Geek. Home run. Sorry, Rich.
That's fine. Don't blame me. When we get on our conference call later with MG Geek, I can't wait to hear you berate him.
Let's talk about Young Rock. Young Rock premiered. Huge ratings. I mean, pretty good ratings. 5 million viewers, 5.034 viewers. Did you watch Young Rock? Because I watched it last night.
Listen, I DVR'd Young Rock and I DVR'd Keenan and I haven't watched them yet.
Okay. I got to tell you, first episode was fine. I'm curious where they go with this. Obviously, the first episode is always the pilot. So things change for the second and third. But they did a good job at representing the wrestlers. His portrayal of his dad is interesting because he's not making him out to be this, you know, godlike figure. He's showing that, you know, he was a good guy with personality flaws.
Okay.
He's somewhat of a shyster or I mean, a carny would be the word, right? He's a carny.
Yeah, he's a carny.
And they use, so the premise of the show for people that don't know is that The Rock is running for president in 2032. And he's doing an interview on NBC with an anchor, right? With one of like an interviewer. And it's about how the purpose of the interview is to show that he's not this millionaire that's disconnected from reality. Mm-hmm. And that, in fact, he has lived the struggles of the everyday American, you know, just trying to get by and having all these wacky things happen in their lives. And they go over the story, and he's telling the story of what it was like growing up as Dwayne Johnson, Dewey, the son of a professional wrestler, and that comes from this crazy family of wrestlers. So Sheiky's in it. You know, the first episode, the Wild Samoans are in it. Sheik is in it. I think Ernie Ladd is in it, right?
I didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't see it. Okay.
I didn't see it.
Okay. So is it JYD? JYD's in it, right? So they show a lot of these wrestlers.
Cool.
I don't know who they've shown so far. I missed the final 2 minutes or 3 minutes of the show. But he goes to school. Andre's in it. Yeah, Andre's this big, you know, I think they did a good job at casting these people. They did a really good job at it. So
I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, it's good. Next week, we'll get some more information, and we'll see how it holds up in the ratings. Let's see. Conan is hospitalized with kidney issues. He had a transplant, I believe, in 2007.
Oh, wow.
And he's having some issues. Update is he is out of the hospital now, which is good news for him. Teddy Hart arrested again in jail. Now, these are the same charges from back a couple years ago. With the it's some crazy stuff. I don't know what the hell's going on there, but Teddy Hart in jail. And Walter has passed Pete Dunne as NXT champion for 686 days. So the pandemic helped them with
that.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. That's almost 2 years. That's pretty crazy, huh?
Guys, Q&A time, boys and girls. Submit your questions in the chat room, and we'll do our best to answer them. I know we have a bunch of questions here, so Rich, why don't you take it away?
All right, our first question is from Bachelor 3000. Any inside word on Jimmy Uso's return?
I don't know what they're doing with Jimmy Uso. I thought he would be back by now. I don't think he's still hurt. Maybe he's at the end of training to come back. We saw him on TV, and he disappeared. So maybe they just don't have it for him in the program, and they're waiting to do something with him in the program.
Maybe he helps Jay on Sunday with Twin Magic.
Maybe. They could do that.
We got another question here from, I hope I say this right, Bevo Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas.
Any truth to the report that Vince is once again not keen on Keith Lee?
I don't know. I think it's not that he's not keen on Keith Lee. I think the problem is they have a very unique idea of what a big man should be. And they don't like it when the big man sells like a smaller guy. And they don't like it when the big guy takes moves like the smaller guys. And Keith Lee is super athletic. And he has a very unique style that they're trying to change into being a big man style. I obviously, listen, Vader is a good example of a big man that's athletic. So maybe I don't know if that's what they think for him. I don't know. I'm baffled by what they've done to him.
Well, I think your comparison is interesting with Vader, because I feel like the way they're booking and the way they're presenting Bronson Reed is what WWE wants from their big men.
Yeah. Yeah, Bronson Reed, great example of that. Yeah.
You know, like
that's
WWE big man.
Yeah.
Keith, I feel like I think it is a central part of his character that this dude can move like a cruiserweight, you know? And the fact that they're not capitalizing on that is, it's a little bizarre right now. Same thing with Dijakovic. Like, Dijakovic's a big dude who can move like he's 200 pounds, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Large 23 asks, did MVP get hurt on Raw?
MVP did... I don't know, actually. That's a good question, and I should follow up on that. I don't have the answer.
Okay.
That's a very good question, though.
Our very own Mr. Johnzo asks, if you could sign any porn star to the club on the Brock Lesnar deal, who would you sign?
Debbie from Debbie Does Dallas.
Oh, boy. She's still alive?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Fifth Generation Carney asks, do you think they're going to do FMW right or wrong?
With that death match? I think they're going to do... It's a lot of pressure to get it right, right? And if you didn't have the things put in place to make it right, they wouldn't do it. I think there's... You're appealing to such a hardcore viewer, right? And such a niche viewer with that match that you gotta impress them. But in the same way, you have to make it make sense for everybody else that's watching. Because I'm willing to bet if let's say a million people watch AEW, which is pretty accurate with DVR numbers. And post, you know, the throughout the week, out of the million, if I were to say 50,000 people have seen these matches, that would be a high match.
Okay,
like from our generation of viewership, you know what I mean? Not like finding a clip on YouTube. I'm saying like actually have followed these matches. It's such a small group of people that have witnessed this and have been interested in this. So they could do a lot of stuff creatively. They have creative carte blanche, but. I where do you think they're going to go? Do you think they're going to stick traditional or do you think they're going to put their own spin and make it into something very different?
I think they're going to do their own thing, but I think the hook is definitely just hearing those words. Imagine if all you did was watch AEW and maybe Monday Night Raw, right? And then all of a sudden this guy goes, "Hey, exploding barbed wire death match." Like wouldn't your head explode? And kind of be like, whoa, what is that? And I think like that's good on them for trying to attract new viewers and pop old viewers at the same time.
Yeah.
But I also think as long as they do it safely, it's going to be awesome. And I also think that Moxley is going to end up just like completely covered in his own blood.
Yeah. It's going to be gruesome for sure. I don't know. I'm willing to bet. Okay. I'm going to say something here. I'm willing to bet that there is going to be backlash about this match.
Okay.
And there are going to be people that they don't like it. It's too gross for them. It's too gruesome for them. And they're going to be really adamant online about how disgusting a match like this is. I'm willing to bet that you're going to see a lot of that because remember, there's a whole generation of fans that 18 to 24, they've really not witnessed this.
Right. Right.
On TV.
Do you think this is gonna? Because like, as soon as you kind of mention exploding barbed wire death match, you imagine just a bloodbath.
Who do you hire to set this thing up? Right? Like, is there like one guy, like one old dude now? They're like, no, he's the best in the business. We gotta hire him.
Well, I think Kenny probably has a lot of connections in Japan who can make it that seamless, right?
Mr. Tokuzawa, he's the best at rigging these matches to explode. Also, you know how many mess ups there are in these matches where things don't blow up?
Oh, forget it.
Listen, they'll figure it out, man.
Or they blow? Yeah, they'll figure it out. Let's see what else we got here. Hold on one second. Bob Hazelwood asks, are they using actors on Young Rock playing the wrestlers or footage of the wrestlers?
They are using actors of the wrestlers. So they're in the series. So they've hired Brett Reza, I think his name is. He plays the Iron Sheik. Jersey guy. Big jacked up dude. He looks phenomenal. He's living a gimmick now. He shaved his head. He has the mustache and he calls everybody Bubba. Like he's become Sheiky in real life, which is hysterical.
He's the ghost of Sheiky.
So the guys that they casted for this really look the part.
Yeah, dude. Everybody looks awesome on the show. Let's see what else we have here. Adam has maybe my favorite question of the day.
Shoot.
If you button your shirt all the way up, do you get fired from the club?
I do. If I button it, I become a different person. I become a pencil pusher. Watch.
Hello.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Look.
Yeah. I don't know.
It doesn't even fit my freaking neck.
You went from promoter to intern at the snap of a button.
I can't even do this.
Come on, man.
My next.
When was the last time? When was the last time you buttoned that button?
Oh, never. Oh,
hello.
Oh, hello, guys. Hold on. Slowly. Ready? Different levels. Let's transcend into different levels. Here we go.
That intern.
Intern. Okay. Okay.
Exec.
Okay.
Club exec.
Wait.
Club promoter. Club patron.
How about this? There we go.
Guy who's not letting.
Yeah. How about this one? Huh?
I don't know if I like that one.
Greek dude. I went to a whole different continent, dude.
You know what I wish? I wish when you did the button reveal that you had Brock Lesnar's tattoo. Like the knife.
Can I just do the hitman? I feel like I got to do the hitman every time I unbutton this.
Like the fist holding the knife, except the knife is like a big wiener.
That would be it. Let's see. Any word else here?
Yeah, we got a couple more.
All right, shoot.
Any word on Aleister Black?
They're waiting to come up with something for him.
Okay. Do you want to do? We have like three more. You want to knock them out?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. What are, from Transferring Heat podcast? What are your thoughts on this week's Wednesday ratings?
It was very interesting because they were really neck and neck. I think there was a lot of interest for what NXT was going to do. I think the storyline actually the cliffhanger worked as far as bringing people, and it was a really good NXT. It just shows you there's about 1.5 million people a week that want to watch wrestling on Wednesdays. That's the number, give or take, maybe a little bit more. I don't think it has anything to do with reflecting on the product of both shows. That's how many people are watching wrestling on a Wednesday night. That's the cap. Listen, WWE Monday Night Raw does about the same, kind of, right? Anywhere from 1.5 million to about 2 million people. Okay, give or take, that's the fan base. But now we know there's 1.5 million people that will watch wrestling adamantly every Wednesday night.
Yep.
So I think it's not a more or less about NXT doing more, AEW doing more. It's more or less on wrestling getting hot enough to garner more viewership. I think we're going to be sitting at this 1.5 million mark for some time now. Maybe it goes up a little bit, drops a little bit, but I think that's the viewership for a Wednesday night show. And it just goes to show you, putting NXT on Wednesday nights really is the big story here, with a defensive measure against AEW having a consistent 1 million mark viewership, because that is the key, right? That's, you know, like in the stock market, right? The numbers go up and down. There's resistance at certain points. So stock, it gets close to that $1 mark, let's say, or $10 mark. It'll drop because of buying and selling. I think this is the cap here. This is where we are. If they do hit that 1 million mark consistently, it might drive the viewership up even more because of the buzz. So it is a good defensive measure by WWE, but in the same time, they're hurting a product that they have on TV. Because I'm confident that AEW could do anywhere from 800 to 1 million weekly if it was on its own, easily.
Absolutely.
And by the way, I am lowering that AEW number because it's not put in a position to be a number one TV product. It's put in to show you these are the up and coming guys. It's another alternative here. So I think for AEW, they're getting hurt. And I think for NXT, it's not really doing anything terrible to them.
Excellent. That was a good answer.
Thank you.
All right. Eric asks, does Ali, this is a good question, does Ali and Retribution cost Kofi his spot in the chamber, forcing Ali in the match? That's the first part. And second part is R-Truth going to win the 24/7 title back from Bad Bunny on SNL? Yes, 100%.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I think they're going to run a skit on SNL.
The Ali thing is makes sense because that was his moment in that Elimination Chamber match before he got hurt. Right, like he was supposed to be in that Elimination Chamber match a couple of years ago, and it didn't happen. So it makes sense for Ali to take Kofi's place, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. Do you see AJ Styles win the belt to challenge Edge for Mania, and do you see Aleister Black turn heel and attack Big E, or show a promo package?
I think it's very possible. I would love to see that match. I don't know if they're going to do it at WrestleMania, but I would say that is a possibility that they can go in that direction. By the way, the whole Rumble, 2019 Rumble, 2020 Rumble, right? That Rumble, the Edge program, Edge being in that Rumble, was to set up his year-long feuds. You had Roman, you had Randy, you had AJ. And who else? Who else did he touch in that match? There was a bunch of them. But yeah, those three were the ones that they were going to say, okay, these will be the programs, because everybody would want to see an AJ Styles match with Edge. Everybody wants to see Roman Reigns now, and everybody was into the Randy Orton stuff. So I think it helped building these programs, and they're still going to go with that. I think it just got delayed by a year.
All right. Fair enough.
Bob Hazelwood, $2, by the way. Bob Hazelwood, our homie,
$2. Bob.
And he says, will a return to a live audience spike the viewership? Yeah, temporarily. Just like we saw the spike for the Thunderdome when they went over, that you saw the demo shift and the numbers go up. I think, you know, here's the thing. NXT's killing it with 50-plus viewers. AEW's struggling with them because people like to be in their habits and they don't want change. We see it on social media all the time. People complaining that there's another product that people are enjoying, which I hate. I hate anybody telling don't poo-poo on my salad. What is it, Rich? What's the expression?
You say don't yuck my yum.
Don't yuck my yum. So I think there'll be a bump, but I don't know how much.
Okay.
Is that it? Are we done?
Fair enough. It looks like that's it in the notes. I think we are done for the day, sir.
All right. That's it, boys and girls. We'll be back this Sunday for our Elimination Chamber watch-along. I'm not sure where we're going to do it, if it's going to be on F4W or on the Mattman channel. If you do it on the Mattman channel, you know, you could expect things to get a little bit nuttier, a little bit more crazy. So I don't know. I think we might do it on the our Mattman one, and we'll really be pushing the Super Chat to see what we could do there with that.
Oh, absolutely.
Rich, BTC Rich 2.0 is back. You've been doing it consistently the last couple of weeks. Saturday
morning, usually with a 9 a.m. drop on YouTube, BTC Rich X. Come watch me talk comic books with you.
Dude, we got to talk about, I got to talk to Jonathan about getting an image for that from you.
Mr. Johnzo,
because I want to start posting it on the GFQ page.
Awesome, man. Cool. Yeah. Thank
you. Start doing that. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on this Friday morning. I'm out of here. I'm going to Manhattan. I'm going to the city. I got to open up a club. I got to open up a restaurant.
I got to paint my house.
I got to get this going, baby. he has to go paint this house. I got to figure out how many buttons I'm buttoning today. So I deeply appreciate you guys joining us. Go to our website, gfknetwork.com. Subscribe to the podcast. We're everywhere podcasts are available. Of course, here on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the freaking bell so it lets you know when we're going live. And we'll see you all this Sunday on for Elimination Chamber. See you next time. Take care.